Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Your future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at La Berge Casino Resort, Lake Charles. Here's Joe George, Brian McDonald, and Sean Mapes.
Who win it now?
All right, the college football playoff selection show is underway on ESPN. So we will kind of pivot to that as we expect it to be released here. They just showed all the sideline reporters across the country.
I was shocked to see that Marty Smith is in Alabama.
Yeah, Marty Smith is shocked in Alabama. Saw Jen Latta over at Notre Dame.
They wasted a reporter on sending someone to Duke.
Well, it's just at ACC.
Well, there was a Duke and an ACC.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the ACC reporter, Chicago Cubs sideline reporter, Taylor McGregor, who also does college football games. But it's so, whenever I see her on college football, like, this doesn't make sense. Why aren't you at the Cubs game right now? Like, especially during Cubs season, I was like, why are you leaving me? It's like Jeremy with this show. He's like, or with our normal show. He's like, I'll go call Cougs game.
That's exactly what he sounds like, by the way. Yeah. That's a great impression.
Go Cougs.
I was transferred right away. Like, oh, Jeremy Branham. Branham here. I heard it.
So we'll be getting the rankings coming out here shortly. Joey Galloway out there. Booger McFarland. Hopefully not. Like, I don't want to diss Glenn or anything like that, but a 2-hour World Cup draw show for the draw to take 20 minutes was brutal. They just kept going and going and going. I was like, this is an absurd thing. Hopefully college football does not. It says next exclusive reveal. So maybe in the next couple
commercial
minutes.
Commercial break and then.
Yeah, I'm hoping we get one commercial break and then segment two is the reveal.
I'm really hoping for that commercial break, Brian.
Yeah. So really,
you really love. You just want to see that dog
sell some ads.
Commercial.
Yeah.
Again.
Oh yeah. Go dogs.
Dude, you guys are on one. Okay. So behind the scenes.
Wake up at the ceiling.
Sean and Brian are obsessed with the Georgia commercial. It's very funny.
It's amazing. That's why.
But
go dogs. Ho ho ho.
They were just barking.
like that.
Well, we also
there was a couple Georgia fans that were like,
yeah,
we all bet on Georgia.
Yep. Georgia -1.5.
Yeah.
And the under.
I got Georgia +1.5, too. I won all three of my Georgia bets. That was nice.
Congratulations.
There was like a table of Georgia fans. And like, I was really disappointed they never joined in.
They did a couple
they
times.
Did a couple. Yeah.
They did a couple times? Okay.
Yeah. That was the end.
They weren't as enthusiastic as Sean and I, but they joined
they
in.
They really saved it for, like, big plays. We just kind of did it whenever
like
whenever they got a first down.
I mean, I would say Sean and I's Georgia fandom greater sign than their Georgia fandom
was. I did see a Stetson Bennett jersey.
Definitely more enthusiastic.
That is, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We're more enthusiastic.
Yeah, we're more enthusiastic Georgia fans.
Yeah, they were only excited, like, really good things happened. You guys were just, like, first down.
Yeah.
Sack. I mean, all of them.
And then there was a table behind us who, like, they just kept looking over. And I just
there's because a really disgruntled Alabama fan that was sitting to our left,
and
then, who then left like maybe halfway through the third, like he didn't stick around.
Dogs made him quit.
that's why I'll tell you, I can't have Notre Dame at 10, guys. I don't think I can be here for Notre Dame, Texas A&M.
Yeah, because A&M fans,
they travel well.
This is an A&M place. Like there was one.
Although Matt told us it was pretty split for A&M and
yeah,
Texas.
Yeah,
I mean, it won't be for A&M and Notre Dame. It'll be all of them and then Joe.
Yeah, I hate to break it to you, Brian. Texas will not be making the playoff.
I know. I'm just saying. Like,
let me be the first to announce.
I'll tell you. I wasn't saying that. Yeah.
If Notre Dame matches up with A&M, I'm gonna go. What's the Canadian from the China jersey site?
Temu?
What? Temu? No, where do you get your jerseys from? The Arch Manning jersey.
Oh,
I forgot what it was called. Hold on. Keep going.
What's the point?
I get my Manti Te'o green jersey in 2 weeks?
Oh, God. Manti Te'o?
Probably not.
Okay, I'll get a Jeff Samardzija.
Get Brady Quinn.
No, Jeff Samardzija.
I think it's more than
because they play for the Cubs?
Yeah.
It comes on a slow boat from China.
Yeah, no, they're literally rowing over.
Yeah, we're not gonna get that in time. But yeah. I'll have to buy like a Notre Dame jersey and wear it and just
Will Fuller.
Be in the Lions then. Nah, I was never really a big Fuller guy.
Wow.
He was fine. He
turning
was
his nose up at Will Fuller.
He was fun at Notre Dame.
Jerome Bettis.
Yeah, I could do a Bettis.
All right.
A little throwback.
Yeah.
Really?
Might be
I mean, can you really tell, though?
No, they all
I mean, you just know that yeah. It's Jerome Bettis.
If I want to make it really weird, I could buy the jersey of one of the two players that I do the post-game show with.
That's a little fanboyish.
I mean, they are like, one's like the number one rusher of all time in Notre Dame football history besides Jerome Bettis. But it would still be kind of weird to be like, hey, man, I got your jersey on.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little weird.
Yeah, it'd be a little weird. Rockets suck on back-to-backs. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be a thing, Sean, you feel like? Because two back-to-backs in the second game has been pretty bad against first the
Jazz
and then last night against the
Mediocre
Mavericks.
Teams at best.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's probably, it's kind of a theme or a trend for every team on the second night of a back-to-back. So I'm not sure how specific it is to the Rockets.
Sure.
You have Kevin Durant, who actually played both sides of both back-to-backs.
And he played well. He played well on the back-to-back.
And so that's something where, you don't really pencil that in for definitely going to happen going forward. Obviously, yesterday they didn't have Alper and Şengün,
or Steven Adams. Yeah.
So they went with Clint Capela. So now they're kind of not playing the way they want to play on top of it being a back-to-back. So I think just given the amount of guys or the importance of the guys that will probably miss a back-to-back game, I do think it'll be something somewhat of a trend. Maybe not like where they
lose everyone.
Yeah, but where they get smoked every time. Because the Jazz game was close. That one felt more like we don't really want to be here. We proved our point yesterday with how much better we are than this team. And playing the same team again, maybe it was more of a motivation thing than an actual legs thing. Where this game last night against the Mavericks felt like it was third quarter. Oh, we don't really have the horses to keep going.
Because even though they had some good offensive performances, you mentioned Durant, like we were watching that game, and it was a layup line, exactly. And I know I was sweating that more than you guys because I made a live bet on the Rockets +4.5, but it was just because it was tied. They trailed a little bit in the first, they trailed a little bit in the second, they had it tied at 57 going into half, but coming out in the third, like one team had energy and the other didn't. It was a Mavs layup and dunk line like almost the entire second half.
Yeah, I think what's interesting to watch going forward is just like what the plan is for Kevin Durant, because it feels like maybe some of this is circumstance, is that he had the family situation, so he missed two games, so it made sense for him to play in the first back-to-back with the Jazz. Because it's like, why would you miss 3 out of 4 games?
Right.
And then this one last night, like you're down Alpi, Tari Eason, and Steven Adams is already for sure not going to play. So are you also then going to remove Kevin Durant from your lineup? So I think when Alperen, like when he's not sick, and potentially have Tari Eason and Dorian Finney-Smith, I think eventually we see Kevin Durant sitting on these back-to-backs. But it's been a pleasant surprise. Like, and then obviously that second game hasn't gone well, but there was no chance under any circumstance I thought they would put Kevin Durant out there in a back-to-back game. I'd assume that it was just like, yeah, that's it. It's kind of like Josh Hader, where it's like you never thought he was going to try to get 6 outs, and he started doing it. It's like, oh, this is nice.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's something where, because you can look at it, there's only been 2 back-to-backs, so you can look at it piece by piece, and it's like, well, he didn't play the week before the 2 Jazz games, and then this one, it is just a trip up north. Yeah. You know, probably
both are on the road. Both of these second nights of back-to-backs were on the road.
Yeah, one they had to travel from their hotel room to the arena, to their hotel room, back to the arena.
I remember a wise man brought up travel yesterday. he was not listened to.
Yeah, by himself, by the way.
Went and bet on the Rockets plus 4.5.
This wise man won his bet by betting the over. That wise man didn't listen to him.
No. I was dissuaded by Joe's mockery of me mentioning the road. He was very dismissive of the 45-minute flight.
Joe's fault that you didn't listen to yourself.
Obviously, if I missed – it's the one bet I missed yesterday.
Yeah.
I missed one bet.
Commonality, Joe.
Joe.
Yep, my fault.
Where else did I lose money?
I don't know.
Playing Ultimate Texas Hold'em.
Oh.
Who did I join in that? Joe. See? Joe's the problem.
Yeah, clearly. I was starting to see if the Rockets were on a back-to-back. The next time we hear, they're not.
Oh, damn.
But – oh, they are, but the second game's on Sunday. So they play Saturday, Sunday. But this is not what that Saturday, December 20th, is going to look like. So we have three college football playoff games. We've got two NFL games. And the Rockets and the Nuggets play at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
4 o'clock. 2 hours after our show?
That Rockets game's probably not going to be on TV.
No. It might be.
Maybe on one of the sidelines here.
Because they don't. They spread the college football games out. So
Yeah, because I think
the NFL games are spread out.
It'll probably
be
the football games, two of them on the screen, and one of the side ones will have a Rocket.
Yeah, because we'll only have 11-3-7, I think.
The NFL games will probably be, 3-7 or 3-30-7?
Like, it's 2-6.
I think it's 5-20 and 7-20.
Oh, really? Well, there's actually some overlap?
I think there is. I thought I saw
that
there was
that
overlap.
Would be a little odd, but, I mean, anyway, the point being, I think...
Oh, no, sorry. You're at 4 o'clock and 7:20.
Yeah, so there's only one game on of each at a time. So one
Rockets.
College football, one NFL, and then, Rockets will get a side TV.
Yeah, I would rather watch Rockets Nuggets than Eagles Commanders, even though Jaden Daniels, he's back this weekend, which is, are you surprised by that at all, that he came back with this broken elbow?
I kind of think there's too many games left in the season for him, if he's ready to play with five remaining, that's you can't just not come up with some BS and not playing for over a month. It's like, If this situation was 2 weeks later or 2 weeks net from now, where it's three games, it's kind of easier to be you know what?
Also, maybe 4 years into his career, not year two.
Yeah,
that's
quite much.
And also just the nature of his injury, while relatively grotesque, it's not something where it's like, well, we have to see how his arm responds to.
You're not worried about ending his career.
Yeah, it's his left. It's his left elbow.
It's not like throwing RG3 back out there where you run the risk of ruining his career.
It's not a knee. It's not a hamstring. It's not a groin. It's
Joe said, it's year two. If this was Stafford or something, or maybe not Stafford because he's close to it. He might throw him back out there because it might be his last year. But someone that's well established in the league, I don't think they necessarily run him back in there.
It feels like Kyler Murray.
Well, Kyler Murray might have to fight for a job.
I'm pretty confident.
Kyler Murray got IR'd.
Yeah, his foot has not progressed.
I think it has progressed. Yeah. I usually over. I think this is far overvalued when people talk about building momentum for the following season. 99% of the time, I agree with that. But I do think there's something with this where, the Commanders have sucked all year. I think it would be valuable for Jaden and the offense to get a few good games under the belt. Just go, it was the injuries. We're actually still really good.
Yeah.
And you're going into next year feeling good about yourself.
Because they really haven't played with, the full complement.
Yeah, Jaden, I think, has played with Terry once this entire year.
Yeah, and they're moving the ball pretty well on Sunday night with
Mariota.
Mariota. And
thank you, Collinsworth.
And against a pretty good defense.
Apparently, that's how you say it.
I just don't trust Collinsworth. I'm going to default to
that's
who's
how
wrong.
Tirico was saying it, right?
Oh, Tirico was saying it.
He was less committed than Collinsworth was. And then they asked Mariota, and he said, "Yeah, Mariota."
Okay.
He was people mispronounce it by saying Mariota, and it's so that's the that's the issue. The top is not really something that he's asking for.
Yeah. All right. We at some point will be seeing.
The CFP selection principles.
The principles. It's very convenient that head-to-head is second. Strength of schedule one, they're separated by one slot in the rankings.
Sorry, Notre Dame.
So we're talking about Notre Dame and Miami.
Sorry, Notre Dame played Texas A&M. Sorry.
And lost.
Yeah.
By point.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bullpen
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at La Berge Casino Resort, Lake Charles. Here's Joe George, Brian McDonald, and Sean Mapes.
Back here on ESPN 97.5 as we await to see the college football playoff final seedings. Will there be a crash out on the show?
I don't know. On this show?
Will the college football committee be honorable men, or will they put Notre Dame in the playoff? Yeah. Find out later.
Yeah, I might. This Comrex might not make it back to Houston.
Will they do the right thing, or just, will Joe be happy?
This coffee might just get dumped on the Comrex and just say, I'm out of here. Leaving. I can't really do that.
I mean,
you've kind of given now evidence to be hard to deny it was an accident.
It's going to be this is being way too drawn out. They better do this coming out of the break. I'm getting angsty here.
They have coming up in a minute 25 exclusive reveal.
Yes, they do. They've got a countdown clock there, Joe.
I mean, it's a good way to do it.
I hope they start at the top, though. I hope they go, like, Indiana, one.
Oh, they have to, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Well, especially because we know who 11 and 12 are. Like, there's really no drama at the end.
Yeah, because last year...
Like, the drama's in the middle.
Well, last year how they did it was by the... the conference winners.
Oh, that's right.
And so, because the conference winners are automatically, and so there's not drama there. So it was like, whatever, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
And it was like 7 and 12 or something, because Clemson was the ACC champion last year in the 12th seed.
Really, the only drama here is 9-10, right?
I mean, they could shock us. Yeah. I don't think they will.
It feels like 5 through 8 is pretty well locked in. Yeah. Maybe the order
like Ole Miss
switches one spot.
Ole Miss and A&M. In that 6-7 spot?
Yeah.
And Oregon and Oklahoma are all in. Those four teams are in. I'm not taking the bait. I'm not taking the bait.
I mean, you could flip the 6-7. I actually think you could.
I think you're a terrible person right now, but you could do that, yes.
The only thing I can't get out of my head is that when Hunter Yurecek said that, like, the idle teams can move, I was just like, I feel like I was directed towards Notre Dame-Miami, but it also made me feel like with Ole Miss, there is some in play of, like, hey, we need to think this out a little bit more.
But when they've already done that? Because Lane Kiffin had already left by the time the previous ranking came out.
Yeah, but it had been like 24 hours, right? Like 48 hours.
I mean, how much time does it decide? Like, either you care
how
or you
long
don't.
Were they deliberating?
That's
we don't know.
That's what I'm wondering. Like, do you like, if like the more it's like, okay. Because I think, like, the more that you get away from that situation, like, now you know Charlie Weiss Jr. is going to be back there calling plays.
Right.
They didn't know that. Yeah, it is junior. It's not
junior,
senior.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying.
He's about like a fifth the size as well, if you needed to know.
unnecessary shot.
Well, it's the truth.
Okay.
It's a fact. But like, could they look at the Ole Miss situation like now a couple days later and say, hey, we actually are going to drop them back a little bit without
I feel like that'd be hard to defend. Like if you were to put out a ranking with Ole Miss, where were they at, 6?
Yeah.
If you were to put out Ole Miss at a ranking with them at 6, having full knowledge of the situation, actually the only additional knowledge that you've gained is in their favor with the knowledge that Charlie Weiss Jr. is returning to call plays.
Jr.
Like, how could you then justify dropping them further when the only additional news that's come out is in their favor?
Yeah.
And I really think these rankings are just a convenience of what they can defend.
Yeah, and you know, you can't bump them up because Oregon also didn't play.
Right.
And nothing really happened. You know, you can't move them really down with A&M. You can't – like, they're just surrounded by teams that also didn't play, so there isn't even, like, the indirect thing, you know, where they can move them around. Like how we're saying Alabama might bump down a spot but stay in, just be the last team in. There's not really that, you know, flexibility around
them.
They're
sandwiched between other teams that also didn't play.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be, I don't know, it feels like there's a chance some people are going to be very upset with this.
Okay.
I think we got the reveal.
Texas isn't in. I'm going to throw things. So.
Will you also take Joe's drink? What do you know, Indiana's number one.
A little splash of water.
Indiana, the number one team in the country, which is not a shock at all. I mean,
you think Fernando Mendoza won the Heisman last night?
Yeah, yes. I do.
The odds
Cause Diego
are
Pavia,
crazy.
Are they? Okay, because yeah. Diego Pavia took over that spot briefly. Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, was it a big night for Fernando Mendoza if you just look at the box score?
Like that one throw.
But yeah, that one throw was amazing.
He made a couple big throws.
And he was really good, like, outside the first quarter when he threw that interception on the, like, the short little screen round. Yeah. Like, outside of that throw, he was great.
And the promo he cut. I mean.
Yeah, he was very
emotional. I was watching this
with a tear in my eye, like Ric Flair.
It was during the game, it was Pavia, like, minus 140, Mendoza plus 150. Diego Pavia is now number two at plus 1,000.
Yeah.
My
so
goodness.
It was like, it was
Ohio
so
State.
Ohio State. Number, look, this was something I advocated for.
I'm good with this. Ohio State at two, like, it's a 3-point game. It was a great football game. There's no reason to punish them and make them
wrong. And there's not, like, a huge difference between two and three, especially because you get the bye.
Because they'd be playing each other in the semifinals anyway.
Yes. And even with, like, oh, well, it changes your first round matchup? Not really, because you're still. It's one of two teams either way.
Yeah. Like there's no real difference, but I do think this makes sense. So like, if you thought Ohio State, or if you think Indiana is the number one team in the nation,
and they played
Ohio State's only losses to the number one team in the nation, then I don't see how you could draw them to three.
Quick note here.
So we'll know Georgia will be three. There will be no real suspense here.
Kansas State has decided they're going to not play their bowl game with the coaching change.
Interesting.
Which means 5-7, Rice Owls.
There we go.
Welcome to the bowls.
Hootie-hoo!
They're bowl team
Congratulations.
Now.
Congratulations.
So Colin Klein's not going to do both?
Apparently not.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I guess he's just going to do
I mean, he wasn't going to coach the bowl game anyway. Like the staff remaining would
have
coached
the bowl. Yeah, but you do, like, bowl practice.
All right. Georgia is number three officially.
No suspense there.
Texas Tech
will be four.
Yeah. This is where they – because the anticipation's at the end.
It's the at-larges that are the
– If it would have been flipped, if the anticipation would have been at the top – I feel like you start at 12.
Yeah.
So if it's like every year you can change how you want to reveal it.
Well, they're
maybe
also
they
gonna,
just skip around.
They're not going to go by seed. They're going to go by conference champions. So, like, we'll see Tulane and Duke
or
James
JMU
Madison.
Next.
Yeah.
You think so?
They did Ohio State second.
Yeah, Ohio State.
Oh, yeah, I guess they did do.
Yeah, I think they're just going,
they're going in order.
Oh, wow.
They're going in order.
See, that's what's kind of fun with this is you can change it up every year.
Yeah, you could.
Do you guys give Texas Tech much of a chance against Indiana in that semifinal?
Yeah, I do. I'm impressed with their defense. Like, their defense is really good. I think they can win a game.
That feels like an under game.
Yeah.
If we're talking about what we're going to bet.
Yeah, Texas Tech 4.
Texas Tech officially 4.
Well, we won't be out here for that one.
No, we won't be. But, I don't know. It feels like if Indiana gets to, like, 23, they probably win that game against Texas Tech.
Yeah.
I don't think Texas Tech's going to be able to score much on them. But I do love Texas Tech's defense. That feels like it could be another game like the Big Ten Championship game where it's like 13-10.
How is it 2025 and this watch party is like terrible quality for Texas Tech?
The Zoom videos all,
We don't have better quality in 2025.
It might just be the internet connection in Lubbock.
The winds are high on the plains, man.
Yeah.
Okay? The winds are
their
high.
Their dial-up connection that they use to stream
100% Lubbock is still used to dial-up.
When do you think they break here?
I think they break. Feels. Yeah,
they take a commercial break at 8.
I think we all agree, like 5 through 8 is pretty well locked in. The drama's at 9 and 10. So I think they break at 8.
And it's a natural
back.
Like, hey, these are the teams with byes. Here are the teams with home games.
Home games, sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
Oregon comes in at 5. And Ryan, just so you know, back in the studio, we're gonna roll through this top 12 or until they go to commercial break. So we're just gonna keep it here. So Oregon comes in at 5, setting up a
matchup. No real drama.
With Texas Tech if they advance in
I
the
like
quarterfinals.
The Tyler Shuck Bowl, two teams that Tyler Shuck played college football.
I mean, how many teams could say that? I mean, he was in
Louisville
college for,
can also say that.
He was in college for a gajillion years.
Yeah,
I think he was in college longer than, who was it back in the day? The play for the Florida State, Chris Winkie.
That's like, did you guys see the rant from Calipari last night?
No.
He was ranting about how they're how Arkansas is by far the youngest team in the SEC because there's always 25-year-old grown men playing in the conference. He said we got one guy who's waving to his kids in the crowd and he's using his NIL money for his alimony from his first divorce.
What? That is a wild accusation, if not true.
All right, Ole Miss stays at 6, so they don't punt it.
Setting up a possible SEC quarterfinal matchup between Ole Miss and Georgia. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously a game that Georgia won, not convincingly, but it never felt like they're going to lose it the first time around. But that was in Athens.
Part of me does feel like idea of Lane Kiffin leaving for LSU and then watching Ole Miss go on a run to the title would be awesome.
And that does answer your question, Joe. They didn't punish him any further. They kept right where they were the week before, which I think as it should be. And I think we all expect this next team to be Texas A&M.
Yeah, I think A&M should be here coming in at 7. I'm curious. I think it was a precedent-making move. Like, you had to make a decision going forward, especially as the playoffs expand. Texas A&M is at 7.
You can hear their first round of the playoffs
right here.
Right here on ESPN
97.5.
Yeah.
In the app or no app?
Yeah, probably just depends on who's producing.
Way to take control of the ship, Joe.
Now, there is a chance we won't have a Saturday show for the next bullpen or for the next remote, because if they get the 11 a.m. game, that'll be a problem.
That is possible.
We could do a post-game show.
It depends on the opponent.
A&M also does a post-game show.
Yeah, that might go 2 hours.
I don't know if you heard.
I think it depends on the opponent. Like, if they're playing Notre Dame, they're probably the Friday game.
All right, here comes Oklahoma.
All right.
Eight.
So now nothing we're has through changed, the, obviously. Yeah. Now we're through the obvious.
I think the one match, A&M versus Ohio State in the second round would be.
I mean, I hate to say this, home of the Aggies, but Ohio State easy.
Yeah, I mean, the defense is good, but like, they just can't run the ball. I mean, they can't throw the ball well enough, I feel like.
Yeah, like, I know Marcel Reed at one point, they had Heisman propaganda put out for him, but when he actually had to face a legit defense, because we know what their record was, it was the bottom half of the SEC standings, in conference, that is. It was literally a divide at all the teams with the losing records in the conference. That's who A&M faced outside of Texas. But when he had to face a legit defense, other than the Notre Dame game, give him credit for the Notre Dame game, when he had to face a legit defense, he threw 3 picks.
Yeah, and
he reverted back to who he was last year.
That's the one thing that, like, I feel like has been, like, under discussed. At least maybe with Yumi and Jeremy on Jeremy and Joe Monday through Friday 3 to 6. I feel like that's the one part of this that is being ignored, is they need to fix the way the conferences games are played out. And I know we'll get like the full SEC schedule release. I think that's this week.
Yeah, Thursday. I think.
And the SEC is moving from 8 to 9 games.
Nine.
So. You will get more.
Wow.
Alabama is your 9th seed. So they don't drop at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, how are you feeling, Joe?
I feel very bad right now.
I think Notre Dame's out.
I think Notre Dame's out.
I think Notre Dame's
I
out.
I think they're about
news.
To announce Miami at 10.
Yeah. So Miami A&M potentially.
This is a bad day to not be on camera.
It oh is. My yeah. God. Joe, for people at home, he has his hands in the prayer position.
I'd be so pissed.
Up
right
to
now.
His chin. Mm-hmm. He is really, I think, sweating this one out, even though the temperature in the LaBerge sportsbook, very nice and comfortable.
Yes.
Okay, so.
Praying to whatever God will help him at this moment.
Praying to touchdown Jesus for the miracle.
So praying the only to the thing, four horsemen.
So the conference championship Era game Parsegan. Is officially 2 years in.
Father Jerome Bettis.
Yeah.
Can may, only may move up.
Sweet Newt Rockne, please.
Gosh. I feel like sick to my stomach.
Put him in the playoff for the Kipper.
I thought I'm going to puke.
All right. We should have. Look, they're not Rudy, going to break, Rudy, so I think we're going to get this here any second now.
Or they're doing the ultimate American Idol move.
Flash it up to Yeah, maybe they took Alabama as a lock, and this is where they actually go to commercial break. We'll see.
Not well, there's yet. Two other
Not
locks.
Not yet. Yeah.
The 11 and
oh,
12.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Well, I just meant with the next pick here. Man, that'd be funny if they then revealed JMU in Tulane.
That'd be honestly
the holdout drama.
That's such a great move. Like that. That's real television.
That is real television.
If they
come on.
If they go Tulane right here, I'm like, all right, we'll get to Notre Dame, Miami,
After the break.
After the break.
Miami is in. Look, I am sorry for my co-host here, Joe George, who I consider a friend. But for the sake of college football, I think this is the right move.
Wow.
Like, if you were to take two teams who had the same record, who were one spot different in strength of record, one spot different in strength of schedule, and played head-to-head and not give it to the winner of that game, that sets a dangerous precedent that you would then have to follow here on out. So I think this is the right move, even though I'm sad to see my friend here.
No,
Joe,
it's okay. Like from a college football fan perspective, like this is the right decision. Like head to head has to matter, or the regular season doesn't matter. Like I'm pissed. I'm annoyed because like then you should have never ranked them in front of Notre Dame ever. You should have found a way to always have Miami in front of Notre Dame. You should have dropped Notre Dame in the rankings and said as Miami moves forward, Notre Dame will move forward. But the fact that you're flipping this when two teams are idle, it doesn't make sense. Like, it makes sense from the beginning, but where they ended in the yeah. penultimate rankings, it doesn't make sense. These teams didn't play, and now the only thing, like Hunter Yurecek, he told the truth. He said idle teams can move, and when he said that, that was my fear, was that he was tipping his hand that Notre Dame's out.
I wonder if it's less about Alabama or the teams around them, and it's more about Duke winning instead of Virginia.
I had that thought.
And you're getting an ACC team at large.
This is the way to shoehorn in an ACC team. So like, if Virginia wins, is Notre Dame in? I think they're in.
Yeah. That might be the
which is not
5D chess way to do it.
It's not a defensible
no,
take from
honestly,
the college football
that's
committee.
Worse.
That is worse. I do think there's credence to what Sean said, though. Like, I think this is ultimately the right move, but what now Hunter Yurecek and the committee is going to have to defend, which I guess it'll just be Hunter, the rest of them don't talk to the cameras, but what they'll have to defend is they start doing college football rankings for the playoffs in, what, week 8? Hour after week 8?
November, early November.
Or like, why did it take 6 weeks to get to where we all knew this was the right thing to do?
Yes.
And it took them 6 weeks to do it?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
What is the reason?
Took them until after the championship games.
It took them to, after those teams, stop playing.
There was not an extra data point between those two teams.
They just woke up one day and like, screw it. Yeah. We're going to flip it now.
And there wasn't really a change in data point from anyone between them or around, like, I guess BYU lost, and so now Miami's in.
Yeah, and Notre Dame's going to come in ranked 11th, but obviously that means start of the playoffs because of the way it's structured. Tulane
is your 11th seed.
And then JMU will be
12th. Tulane, Ole Miss, JMU. So here are the matchups. So it's going to be JMU versus Oregon, James Madison, Alabama, Oklahoma, Tulane, Ole Miss, and then Miami and Texas A&M in the first round of the college football playoffs, which will be here.
I think the Aggies won that game.
I think the Aggies do too, because I think Miami is overrated, and I'm now officially going to be the biggest Aggies fan humanly possible.
Can we get a gig'em?
Gig'em. I need Texas A&M to steamroll Miami in the playoffs.
All right. You're going to petty join the A&M bandwagon?
Yeah. All right. I'm upset.
I can tell.
At least I'm talking, so I'm upset. All right, we're going to go to break here. We'll react to more of this next year on ESPN 97.5.
All right, but before we go to break, I have a great way for Joe to cheer up. Look, he's a little sad right now that his Notre Dame Fighting Irish are out of the playoffs, but you know what? Burger Chan's open when he gets back to Houston. He can stop by Burger Chan when he gets home as the JMU Dukes are celebrating their trip into the college football playoffs. Maybe they travel to Houston to celebrate as well with a burger from Burger Chan, because Burger Chan is serving up the best burgers, and not only just in the city, it's the whole damn country. I'm going to put it out there. Yelp in 2023 and 2024 named them one of the best 100 restaurants in the entire city. You don't have to just get a burger. Maybe you're not in the mood for a burger. Oh, cool. That's fine. They also have hot dogs, grilled chicken sandwiches, fried fish sandwiches. They're also serving up turkey burgers now if you're in the mood for something healthier. Then, and also have great breakfast sandwiches served all day. I love the bacon, egg, and cheese on the sweet sourdough roll there with spicy tots. Go with the spicy tots if you go there for breakfast. But whatever you want to try, they do have now more hours for you to try that award-winning menu. Open on Mondays when they used to be closed. They're open to 3 on Mondays. And open for dinner service until 9 o'clock Wednesday through Saturday each week. So if you're in the Galleria area, stop by. They're right downstairs from where we broadcast, the 5353 West Alabama, in the Galleria at the corner of South Rice in West Alabama. More hours, again, dinner service until 9, Wednesday through Saturday. So make sure you stop by Burger Chan and get one of those award-winning meals. In particular, stop by on Mondays, because for the rest of football season, they're partnering with us for Victory Mondays, and that includes tomorrow. If the Texans win, anytime the Texans win, that following day is a Victory Monday at Burger Chan. You just stop by, mention my name, mention ESPN 97.5, or say Go Texans, and you'll get a free side with your entree. Maybe you want the curly fries. That's usually what I go with. Spicy tots are great. Cheese curds are great. They have sweet potato fries, regular fries as well, if you're a basic. Whatever you want, though, get that free side with your entree by mentioning my name, ESPN 97.5, or saying Go Texans on Mondays after the Texans win. So if Texans win tonight against the Chiefs, make sure you stop by tomorrow. Find them at 5353 West Alabama in the Galleria area. Best burgers in the town. See their full menu at BurgerChanHTX.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Bullpen
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at LaBerge Casino Resort, Lake Charles. Here's Joe George, Brian McDonald, and Sean Mapes.
All right, back here on ESPN 97.5, broadcasting inside the Sportsbook at LaBerge in Lake Charles. You can book the VIP Fan Cave section for the college football playoffs as the first-round matchups were just revealed. Won't be seeing a Notre Dame contingent down here for the first round of the playoffs.
Well, this uncomplicates that weekend for you, Joe.
Yeah, I only have to watch the Bears probably lose to the Packers now. I'm now like, how much money do I want to go bet on the Packers before I leave? Because now I'm just, like, expecting my day just to be, like, a disaster. I'm going to get another ticket on the way home. I can feel it, like.
Is it good or bad that you now have to drive 2.5 hours home?
I'm just gonna, a little windshield time
to relax before you get home to the wife and kids. Or is it you
you
have 2.5 hours to stew with nothing to do but drive?
I'm just going
to
take it out on your wife.
Easy now.
I'm going to put on Red Zone on my phone and just listen to Red Zone on the way home. That's what I'm going to do.
Probably just try to live in the NFL-only world.
Unless your fantasy team also disappoints.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I'm done with fantasy.
You're locked up for playoffs.
In all my fantasy leagues, I'm either locked into the playoffs.
You don't need a win this week.
Or way out of it.
Right.
Like, I've either have, like.
Are you not playing for a buy? I thought you were playing for a buy in our dynasty.
Yeah, but Josh is going to boat race me. So he's trying to text me right now and make me feel better because he wanted to see A&M versus Notre Dame. And I'm like, I don't want to talk to you right now, dude. Like,
you leave him on red?
No, I'm texting him back. I'm actively rooting for A&M. I might buy an A&M jersey, guys.
Dak Gwynn?
At this point, like, I might show up to the LaBerge. I might call, like, my friend Chris Buckner and be like, hey, man, how much did you weigh when you were at Texas A&M in your stupid little outfit? Because, like, Chris Buckner, he was a yell leader.
Oh, okay. You could try to borrow his yell leader.
Yeah, can I borrow it?
I like as A&M fan calling it stupid little outfit.
I feel like that ups your chance of him letting you borrow it by calling it the stupid little outfit. Now, you mentioned weight. Like, what's the height difference here?
Well, he's much taller than me, so, like, I think.
So it's going to come off as high waters?
Yeah.
Come off as capri pants?
So, okay, so deep breath. I have a couple issues with this.
A couple?
One, hurt my feelings.
My feelings are hurt.
Two, I'm disappointed.
I can't believe that, like, they're putting an ACC team in and not the champion, to be honest with you.
I mean,
I would have
really be that.
I would honestly rather than, like, put Duke in with JMU and Tulane.
Would you say that if Miami didn't get in over Notre Dame?
No.
Okay. All right. At least we're admitting
like,
the pettiness.
I feel like if you have an ACC team in to the college football playoff, it should be the ACC champion. I'm just going to be honest.
No, you don't really believe that.
I do now.
No, you don't. Miami was 3 wins better.
But they didn't win the conference.
Because of messed up rules that only the ACC follows.
That's their fault.
So Notre Dame fan has to praise the sanctity of winning your conference.
I'll tell you.
That is a great irony.
I'm going to have to do a Notre Dame.
Winning a conference means something, right, Irish fan Joe George?
Okay. My turn to talk now. I have to do a Notre Dame show tonight after my Bears post-game show.
I think I'm gonna be
the unpopular person on the show. Maybe we'll see. I'm curious what the other guys will and ladies will think, but I think you have to join a conference now. Like I don't know how you do it because it's impossible to say you've got a $20 million year contract with NBC. I think you have to call these conferences now and say, hey, and my guess is they won't do this, but this feels like a message that you have to join a conference. I think that's unfortunate because I think Notre Dame should not be punished for doing something that's been part of college football for a very long time.
But I don't think they were punished because they weren't in a conference.
No, I think if
they were punished because they lost the head-to-head to Miami.
Yeah, that's true. But like, I feel like if they were in a conference, I mean, like, if they were in the ACC, they would have been in the ACC title game.
I would put something else before them being at a conference as far as they got punished for. They got punished for, one, losing head-to-head in Miami.
Yeah.
Two, a schedule that after A&M and Miami was middle of the pack. I mean, like,
they schedule
when half your schedule is ACC teams. Like, yeah. It's not going to, but you're not going to have the strongest.
Yeah, but that's because they have a partnership with the ACC.
I know.
So it's like they have like two choices. They either have to join the ACC or they need to leave the ACC. But the problem is what happens then when they join the Big Ten in basketball and soccer and all the sports, and the Big Ten schedules Northwestern and Illinois, and like they don't schedule anyone of worth of salt in that conference either.
Well, see, that's the thing though. Like, if you're now saying they must join a conference, maybe you disagree, maybe you think it's the Big Ten, but it seems because of the relationship with the ACC and the other sports, and half their schedule being in the ACC and football, it feels like the most likely destination for them is the ACC. And because the ACC is perceived as the clear four of the Power Four,
yeah.
Like, it doesn't feel like it solves that. You're just adding more ACC games to the schedule.
No.
Like, it doesn't really fix your problem.
I'll tell you, I do not think they will join the ACC.
Big Ten or independent?
Yeah. I think there's a better chance to join the Big 12, frankly. That relationship is soured. There was real issues with, you know, because they're in the ACC, they have this partnership, and Barstool just tweeted this out last night and this morning on the ACC network.
Oh yeah.
They reran that. Notre Dame Miami 7 straight times.
They did that. They did that over the week too. They were just showing it.
That's like, what I love from sports.
But,
this week.
Yeah,
but they were mixing it like earlier in this week.
Yeah.
They would still mix in like the play or the game of the week from last week. So it would be like 4 straight Notre Dame Miamis and then like whatever Virginia Tech and then 4 straight Miamis.
Yeah. Like there is
they win each time? Do we know?
I think
have we confirmed
I think
it?
So.
Okay. So Miami still won that game.
I think the Convicts came out on top.
Yeah. Shout out to the Convicts.
Yeah, it is I don't know. It's going to be really interesting, I think, to see how Notre Dame responds to this.
Do you agree with Robert Griffin III? He was talking about a different school, but is this anti-Christian bias?
Is that what he said?
About BYU.
Did he really?
Oh, you guys didn't see this?
No, I didn't see this. Well, there's my worst person in sports this week. Boom, we got it.
Okay.
ACC Network and Robert Griffin.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Your award's in the mail.
It's I mean, maybe.
Is that where you should lead with that joke tonight on the Notre Dame postgame show? Anti-Christian bias.
Yeah, like, you know what? Yeah.
I mean, maybe.
The same people who hate Tim Tebow now keeping our good Christian brothers, Notre Dame, out of the playoffs.
Yeah. I think we're going to have to at this point. We're going to have to just find every reason under the sun to find a way to.
Putting in godless Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look,
yeah,
man.
Convicts. Versus Catholics.
Yeah. They chose convicts. They chose lesser TV ratings.
Miami Notre Dame would definitely rate it better.
You know what? We give the college football playoff committee a hard time. We did minutes before the bracket was revealed.
Right.
They revealed an honorable bracket.
They
so,
did.
So salute
credit
to them.
Credit to them. I'm glad they got it right. I still am puzzled as to why they looked at the wrong solution
don't,
for
don't
6 weeks.
Don't worry about the process.
Like,
Doesn't matter, Brian.
First week in November, Notre Dame's better. Second week in November, Notre Dame's better. Third week in November, Notre Dame's better. Fourth week in November, Notre Dame. And then we got to the second week in December. Never mind. Miami's better.
Well, okay. So I think that like when they go back to like that first ranking and they were doing that weird explanation about the pockets of why – then to me, it was always Miami over Notre Dame head to head. But they put them in, because of when Miami's losses came, it put them in that different pocket of teams. So, like, if you're going to rank teams.
I also
teams,
hate that, though. Like,
I agree. Yeah. But, like, if you're going to rank teams, like, in, like, chunks of four at a time, and Miami's in that second four, you can't, you know, say, okay, Miami's going to be at the front of that because they're one behind Notre Dame, or, like, we're going to move them into a different pocket. Like, it's a flawed system, and ultimately, like, they got it right. Like, I hate it, but they got it right. It's just, like, everything now with this, we've said it, you know, multiple times on Jeremy and Joe, like, the AP poll coming out the first week of the season is stupid. And now, officially, the college football playoff rankings are irrelevant until today. Like, they literally do not matter anymore. It's just the reality of it. Like, we're going to talk about it, but, like, it's a waste of time, officially. Like, it is no longer, to me, like, worth diving into, because they showed that, as you said, Brian, for a month and a half, that the rankings are totally irrelevant. Like, they just don't matter anymore.
Yeah, because, I mean, and I hate this, but forever it's always been, well, whoever loses last. Like, if two teams have one loss, well, the one that lost in September is better than the one that lost in November.
Whole inertia, naturally, they just end up higher. Yeah.
Is dumb and weird.
Yeah,
we've
gotten better at that as, like, a polling community.
We have, and that was holding seemingly Miami down until now. So, like, it really does feel like we're at a point where, and not that it wasn't already this way, because it really, in reality, it was, but the rankings until this week are all just TV entertainment. Yeah. That's all they are. They're just fodder for what we do here on Sports Talk Radio. Because, I mean, the whole idea of, well, they lost last, so Miami's lower. I don't like it, but I've come to accept it because it's just been the reality of how they do things. But then they went back on that. And they were telling us for 6 weeks the head-to-head didn't matter. And then they went back on that. So nothing that they've told us so far as the justification for what they've been doing did they actually hold to.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to quickly here before we leave. The person we love and the thing we hate the most in sports this week.
Joe, would you like the lead?
What I love? Nothing. At this point, I love nothing.
I mean, shout out to wife and kids. But
for sports. I love that I won a bunch of money last night or somebody breaking his elbow.
That's
all I really love in sports right now.
Get well soon.
What do I hate? The committee.
Life, everything.
The committee and... Right. Oh, I'm going to make sure I get this in, because I said I was going to yesterday.
Oh, right.
The kid from UTSA, who just, like, after he won $100,000 from the Dr. Pepper Challenge, he was just, like, golf clapping for himself. Lame, man. Give the double birds.
Joe initially.
Drop a suck it to the lady you're doing it against. Like, it was a soft celebration. Like, he won $100,000. Like, yep. He's just clapping.
Joe, you're overselling. Celebrate. You're overselling his reaction. I don't think he even clapped.
No.
Like, he was dead.
He just, like, walked over and got his check.
Joe assumed, because I think you're upstairs at the moment, Sean. Joe assumed, like, oh, he won 10K. I was like, no, he won 100,000. Joe lost it. He's like, you won 100,000? That's his reaction?
Yeah.
My favorite part is always the promo that they, or not the promo, but a little interview that they do.
Let me tell you, brother.
It always kind of turns into a promo where they're like, there's a kid yesterday that went, and I just want this to show that if I can do it, you can do it. And it's like he threw 7 footballs into a Dr. Pepper can.
He dropped that anything is possible.
And so now he has $10,000, or sorry, $100,000 to go to UCLA. It's like, wait, if you can do it, I can throw a football underhanded. Yeah, we can all do that.
Yeah. My favorite thing from sports this week is just that the playoff committee got it right. I mean, honorable decisions were upheld.
Ethical
decisions remain.
Three-loss Alabama, who lost to Florida State, got in. Awesome.
Ethical.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Sean?
Thing I love, you know, the great people here at LaBerge. I feel like this has been a very negative things we loved segment. Normally, we'd stop swimming with the anger sharks and move to the – I think.
Yeah, we usually start with the anger sharks.
I think we have an anger shark with the headset
I'm
on.
I'm, like,
right
livid
now.
Right now. Like, the more I think about this, like, this is going to be a long-ass drive. I'm going to just, like, scream at my car for 2 hours.
I kind of want to just drive alongside Joe so I can just see him, like, shaking the steering wheel.
I'm either going to drive 130 miles an hour home or 10. I haven't decided yet. Like, am I just going to mope and just, like, put that thing in cruise control at 25 and just...
like... Crying.
Another day. I think we already got to the worst person sports. We should probably just get out.
Yeah. All right, that does it for us. Thank you to LaBerge for having us, as always. We'll be back here for December 19th and 20th and 21st to not watch Notre Dame in the college football playoff.
Maybe they'll have a bowl game that day, Joe.
I won't be watching. They shouldn't play in one. Screw these people. That will do it for us. Thank you, as always, to the great people here, Matt, Russ, Courtney, Pedro, all of them. It's always a great time here. It is an incredible place to be for a fight night, for college football playoff games, for NFL games. Can't wait to be back out here in a couple weeks. For Sean, for Brian, for Ryan back in the studio, and for John Belmer, who produced our show yesterday. That will do it for us. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 3 o'clock alongside Jeremy and AJ, because Brian's leaving us this week to do another job.
That you scheduled me
that
for.
I scheduled him for. And Sean will be back tomorrow from 10 to noon as Del Olale will return. Great. I'll see Del tomorrow. All right. That's it. Goodbye.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.